Now, let me just jump in here and just be like, just so we all know, we're probably going to cut all this, if not most of it. So Phil, we can continue talking about it, but I just don't know how we get to the lights from from rape, sex traffic, Scientology.
No, I just don't want to not talk about it because then it feels like we're avoiding Scientology because we have some critics in our listenership that think we don't talk about.
We have people listening who are like, you don't go hard enough at Scientology.
Yes. Don't we, Aaron?
I don't know.
I just don't know if I have ever listened to a podcast and been like, I don't know what they think about Scientology, though. I do know what they think about Alabama's chances this year. But what about Scientology?
Listen, Alabama can turn it around. How
they can, but can Scientology? I want to know what these people think about it. Hello and welcome to episode number 521 of the Popcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The Popcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on the things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these contemporaneous pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast. And we're still on Twitter. We don't call it what it's called anymore, at Popcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, you guys, we nailed one live show in Austin, and we're going to nail another in Atlanta. Is that too confident? Maybe, but it was hands down our most fun live show we've ever done, don't you think? And they paid us, which was amazing, by the way. What a difference. What a difference a stronger contract can make. If you weren't one of the 1,500 in the room or one of almost 3,200 homes that watched the live stream, you have an opportunity that you cannot pass up, which is to be with us in Atlanta on Saturday, September 30th. And do not take my word for it. One of our special surprise guests, Jen Hatmaker, said we should take the show on the road and go to 20 cities across America. Now, she wouldn't say that about anything not hilarious, right? No. So you should make plans to be with us in Atlanta. The Atlanta Symphony Hall holds 1,762 folks, and there are fewer than 100 seats left. Head to knoxandjamie.com/live to get all the details. And you can use code BIRTHDAY in the unlock section on Ticketmaster to save a few dollars.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to do The More You Know.
The more you know.
You know, normally we start with Ask a Personal Question. I want the listener to start with Ask a Personal Question. Ask yourself a question. Didn't you miss us last week?
I think they might have missed us a little. Like,
there's actually no evidence to support that. I'm trying to like anchor the idea to them that they did miss us. Definitely.
Listen, I did get one DM. We did get one DM that said, yeah, I fell for it. I did buy this live stream because I did not have a Wednesday episode. And I
desperate.
Was like, exactly. Yeah. So we did get one with that master plan. We did get one. So I'm sure they missed us. Listen, and there were so many things happening. So I'm actually so glad we took last week off because now, the more you know, this episode is super packed.
That's
super
right.
Super packed.
A lot of stuff happening. Very spicy. We will definitely get to that. Before we do that, though, Jamie, what is your Ask a Personal Question this week?
Okay, so this is kind of also a tease because in next week's The More You Know that we do just for BFOTS, we do that every Monday that we don't have an AUA that week. And so in that The More You Know next week, we're answering only questions about live shows. And so, and we're going to tell some of our favorite stories, which include that a man wanted to make out with me in the hotel elevator, mm-hmm. the joke that Jason Waterfall saved us from using yep. in the live show, the staffer who had to give themselves an enema in the green room. It's exactly the staffer you're thinking of. The venue staffer that Christiana wanted to dropkick to the moon. Mm-hmm, our favorite friendship bracelets we were given by listeners, the best costumes at the show. There were people in like legit costumes. Yeah. And the meet cute that Aaron and I had on our 3-hour flight to Charlotte. And as you know, cool things always happen in CLT. Right. And then I would argue there's the category of revealing DMs we received about people talking about their own experience, not in a negative way, and about, can you believe this happened to me? Because I drank all them scotch and sodas. It was chaotic. But my favorite DM that we got, so with the live stream, a lot of people were watching live, and the great team at Ethos Media, this is not an ad because literally we paid them full cash money.
That's right.
We did not get a discount for talking about them. And so Ethos Media, who did the entire live stream, which they did a fantastic job. They had multiple cameras. They were running that thing like the professionals they are. And our live stream had almost 3,000 homes watching live. The chat was hopping. And then 2 minutes before the show started, we got a DM from someone watching the live stream. Now, for context, Ethos Media was taking crowd shots and like getting crowd shots. And that was kind of like B-roll they were running the whole time. So you could see, my favorite was when it was Laura Tremaine and they had the wrong seat. They were given the wrong seat number. And then it was just a random blonde woman. And they were like, Laura Tremaine's here. And it's like.
And I felt like there's a great Key and Peele sketch about that at the, I think, State of the Union, or it's a town hall where they keep cutting to Jordan Peele. But, wasn't that woman with a man, and like that man wasn't Laura,
which was not Laura's husband. So it was really funny. Now that was our mistake. We gave the wrong seat number.
Sure.
But also, so this DM that we got, and I mean it, 7:58 PM.
Yeah.
2 minutes before the show starts. This person writes, I'm happily watching the podcast live when I see the woman that my husband left me for on the screen. Waving happily with her friends.
Yeah.
I want to tell the chat, but what if she sees it? Good Lord, chaos. Had to tell someone, LOL, sorta. Y'all have a great show. Let's do this.
Listen, okay, in terms of dealing with that very emotionally complex realization, 10 out of 10. What a way to handle it and deal with it.
Handled it beautifully. Yes, yeah. Truly. Do you think this means that these are two women that have great taste in podcast, but bad taste in men?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the everyone involved has great taste in podcasts.
Right.
I think the man probably just has bad taste in everything else, you know?
In his life choices. Yeah.
You can't win everything, you know? You can't get all
of
them.
You can't. So, and that's just one of the DMs we got. The others are even stranger. So
incredible.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Did you mention that one of the characters from the X-Men universe was really probably the low-key MVP of the night?
Listen,
right?
I walked out of the dressing room and went down the hall and I was like, I'm sorry. Is that an X-Man? Like,
Is Magneto in the building? And is he necessary?
And is he opening for us? I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know.
I wish he would have. Maybe your mic would have worked at the beginning. You know? Who knows? Who knows? That wasn't Magneto's fault, though. That wasn't Magneto's fault.
And it wasn't our fault either. Nope. That may give you a clue into who would Christiana dropkick to the moon.
Yep. That's right.
Anyway, but we had a great show. And lots of people fed back how much they loved it. And it was so lovely to be in the room with so many lovely fans. And and I love that somebody said this felt like a love letter, the show that we created. They said it felt like a love letter to the listener. And I think that's a beautiful way to say it. I do think it is a love letter. I don't think you could have just come in. Although, to be fair, some people said they brought their partners or their sister who had never listened to the show and they like left and had subscribed.
Okay.
We got multiple emails like that.
A lot of times we handhold a little bit more in the past we have of like, you probably are here and you don't have any idea what's going on. This time we strayed a little bit from that.
Yeah.
And I feel like it worked out. I feel like it worked out
too.
Pretty well. Yeah.
I do too.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do ask a personal question, not related to the live show, but kind of related to the live show because this was like kind of all over my DMs Saturday and it's two questions. Okay.
Okay.
Number one. And they're related. Two questions related. Number one, is Jamie okay? Obviously, this is after The Alabama Crimson Tide fell at home to the university.
It's Jan. It's Jan.
Well, I want to check in with you. You know, I didn't know if people had started chirping at you, you know,
listen,
if
of course
getting
they
like
had.
Horns up or anything
of,
like that.
Of course they had. No, yes, of course they had. It was so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, the people who I love who are Texas fans did not do that. Risa, she mm-hmm. did not do that. She did not send me any garbage.
Okay. Okay.
And so that was kind. My
but
mother
just like your mental health's good. Like nothing for anybody to be like worried about.
Why is this leading into something? This feels
no, it's
like
not.
You're not.
No.
You're bad at leading into things because you spend too much time building a structure.
Wow.
That's exactly right. And
you
now
wake
I know
up,
what's coming.
You wake up in the morning. You're like, hey, gonna be a nice guy today, and this is how you get treated.
That's
you
not know? What's about to happen. I know it.
No, it really is. It really is. I wanted to check on Jan. I wanted to check on you. There were some incredible. Sad Alabama fan crowd shots that we don't often get. So, you know,
and I think
people were just
wondering. And you know what soothed my spirit was I got to look at Glenn Powell on that sideline and I would just replay it over and over. It was very
watching Glenn Powell on that sideline, watching Pat McAfee watch Matthew McConaughey on the sideline was one of the highlights of my life, honestly. I would watch a documentary doing that. The follow-up, this is not a mean follow-up. I think another question I got was, is Texas back? This is the question everyone's asking because it's been like the Lucy holding the football
was
for Charlie
Texas
Brown.
Was Texas ever around?
Well, when Vince sometime. Young was there, they were back.
How long
and
ago
was
that?
It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Okay,
it's been a couple decade minutes. But now they've beaten Alabama. People are wanting to know, is Texas back? And I think this sets up really honestly a nightmare scenario, you know, because we could be looking at a winter season where Texas is back. The Dallas Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. Jason and I talked about that in this week's Star State Cut on the Over Underachievers, but I think we're looking at peak Texas right now. Aaron, do you have any ownership in the Texas football dominance right now?
No, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them. Good for them.
I think this will be interesting if like Aaron, if we could give you homework. Maybe like next week you come back. Maybe you just look around college football and you're like, this coach is really hot and I want to follow him. Or this quarterback has a lot of armpit hair. I'm invested in that. Just think about it. You know, if you want to come back next week and talk to us about who you're interested in.
Okay, this is SEC only?
No, anywhere. College football.
Any college football person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to check out Colorado. That's where
teams,
all my clips were coming from in my
vibes.
TikToks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
Colorado.
I'm into this. I'm going to do
logos,
it. I'm going to do
whatever.
It. I'm going to start right now.
Okay. Okay.
She's not starting right now.
That's okay.
I double checked.
Well, I feel like she's probably like breathing it in, breathing it out. You know, like she's getting her body and her mind right first before she starts Google image searching. Okay, that's ask a personal question. Let's go ahead and go to how do we feel, Jamie? A lot of spicy, controversial, problematic celebrity news. Is there one in particular that jumped out to you this weekend?
Let's just start with, obviously, the one I would like to start with is, of course, Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas, because I did predict they would get divorced in our predictions episode.
Look at you.
And they's going down. Now, listen, do I want a marriage to end just because it can? No.
Okay.
But I do like being right. And you are Nostradamus, and I don't always get to compete. And so this felt like a win.
Okay.
So let's just review. The middle Jonas brother, Joe, filed for divorce from Sophie Turner after 4 years of marriage. And he cited the reason in the court documents as, quote, the marriage between the parties is irretrievably broken. Okay. Now, as a reminder, they met in 2016 when he was 27 and she was 20. And he slid into her DMs. And she was like, oh my God, I love the Jonas Brothers. And they got engaged a year later. 2 years later after that, they get married, both in Vegas and the French countryside, as you do. And then 1 year later, Sophie gives birth to Willa. She is 24. And then 2 years later, they have another daughter. So they have daughters who are 4 and 1.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
good spacing. Good 3 year spacing. That's smart.
That's right. Now, the controversy of this was that they filed for divorce. They have a prenup in place, mm-hmm. which my assumption is that's going to him. Like he has.
Sure. That's protecting him primarily.
That's right. That's protecting him. Because also you're dating a 20 year old. And who knows where her brain could end up? Well, I'll tell you what her brain can end up. She does not want to be married to you anymore. And you're trying to get ahead of it. So a source at TMZ, which, by the way, was Joe's publicist.
Okay.
That's who the source was, said, well, they just have different lifestyles. She likes to party. He likes to stay home.
Okay.
And then they said that Joe had access to ring camera footage.
Right.
Saying or doing something that made him realize the marriage was over.
Okay. Two things on that. Number one, I love the idea that Joe hacked into the Ring camera when it's like, it's an app on your phone. Everybody has
right.
it. Like if you have the thing, you get that.
You can watch all the videos. They line them up for you.
I got to know what was done on this Ring camera.
My theory is that she was pulling up to the house, pulling out her key, just trying to figure out how to get in. Mm-hmm. And she's just humming a little Mr. Perfectly Fine by Taylor Swift. She likes those extra tracks, and he's a douche. As a reminder, Joe Jonas falls into the category of the Jake Gyllenhaal, the John Mayer exes of, because he's dated everybody. He dated everybody, and he ended up with Sophie. Also, he said, the source said, again, his publicist said, we've been living separate lives for months. As far as custody goes, this literally all happened. We're just trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure it out in real time. The kids have been with him the last few months, traveling with him, with family while he's been on tour because Sophie's been working in the UK.
Okay.
And let me tell you, the internet did not take too kindly to this PR move. And I get it. Listen, this PR person's probably a Gen X, an elder millennial who's like, you know what people hate? When women don't take care of their kids. Well, that's a mistake because Gen Z and younger millennials are like, oh, I'm sorry. Is it hard for you to take care of your children while a partner works? Is that hard? And so they did not take kindly to it that he should probably be parenting his own children while his wife works, which is what women have done for centuries.
They've Do we know care of children. What she's what she was working
she's
on?
She's on a film. She's working on a film.
Gotcha. Because the only one I'm seeing right now is in pre-production.
Well, I saw her in like what felt like a period piece costume.
Yeah, Joan. It's called Joan, and she's Joan in Joan. So
maybe it was like a costuming, you know, setup. But my understanding is that it is. And listen, she has. You can find 100 clips of her talking about what a homebody she is, how she has not really loved LA. She's wanted to move back to England. She even recently said, I would love for my girls to have the education that I had. And I would love to be close to my family, but I don't know that I can convince Joe of it. Listen, do I think she's been partying a little bit? I do. I think she's been partying because I think her brain finally curdled. And she was like, I am one of the hottest people walking around this planet.
Okay.
And I'm with a man 7 inches shorter than me in every way.
Okay.
Why would I stay with this guy? I'm going to scooch on out of here.
We feel good about Sophie Turner as one of the hottest people on the planet. That is a thing.
Aaron, Google Sophie Turner.
Okay.
She's Googling her, and then she's going to give us her fair feminine perspective.
Yeah, she's super duper hot.
Like that jawline.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. But I think what Jenny said was one of the hottest people in the world. So that tells me top 10.
Do y'all want to guess what her middle name is?
Sophie Turner.
It feels like it's going to be old. Is it old? Is it feel like an older name?
It's old.
Deborah.
Knox, you have an idea?
I like Rose. I feel good about it.
Belinda.
Oh.
You were on the right track, Jamie.
I do think she's hot. I think she's very hot. I think she looked hot pregnant. She looked hot not pregnant.
Maybe both of these people just shouldn't be married to each other, and maybe that's okay.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe that's
100%. Okay. I do think, listen, and I know some people might be like, well, the age gap, 20 and 27 is not, but I do think there's a difference between an age gap and a power gap. Mm-hmm. And at 20, and you're a Jonas brother, I just think it's a weird.
It's weird because I saw some of that discourse of like, it's his fault for wanting to marry her. And it's like, I don't know, because it's like, it's at a certain point, we got to empower her with the ability to make a choice and be a big girl and like make a decision and own up to it.
Yeah, of course.
But then at the same time, we can acknowledge some things, but I don't know. It's like he ruined this because he shouldn't have been 7 years older and tried to marry her. That's his fault, you know?
Because I actually don't think either of them have had like an affair. Maybe that will come out later. I just think I do genuinely think that she looked up and went, yeah, I don't know that I want to live here with this person, maybe even with these kids. Forever. You know what I mean? I think she just looked up and went, I have put my career on hold for 4 years and I only have 8 left.
Right.
I'm 27. At 35, I don't have anything to do anymore in this industry.
If there's a sound effect for sarcastic career on hold music, I'd like to put that in here, Jason. This is my actual theory. I'm going to play irresponsible pop psychologist. These are two people whose careers aren't really going great and they're discontent with themselves, with their careers, and it just didn't work out. And that's okay. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen Storybots though from Sophie Turner. So maybe it's great. You know, maybe it's really good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
No, I was kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke. Pause for laughter. Jason, drop in some like applause or laughter. Either maybe laughter and applause.
I like that you're like, do they applaud? It's me. I don't know. What are they?
I think so. I think I like
they
to applaud
sometimes.
When I really
they
laugh.
Do.
A
they
lot.
Do.
Yeah.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Okay, let's stay here with how do we feel, and let's go, speaking of, things aren't working out. Jimmy Fallon, the case of Jimmy Fallon right now is, it's tough. and it's tricky. And basically, Rolling Stone came out with a report, and in the course of their reporting, I need to check out the author of the piece, because she's been really great at kind of busting some of these really talks, like the Ellen workplace, like the bad workplace situations. But essentially, it's from Christy Lee Yandoli. She talked to more than 80 Tonight Show employees, past and present, while she was reporting to this. And what she writes in the piece is, many of them praise Fallon's immense talent and comedic gifts. Not a single person agreed to speak on the record or had positive things to say about working on The Tonight Show, nor would any of the program's 9 showrunners since 2014 comment about the program's namesake on the record, Jimmy Fallon. They wouldn't even give statements of support, comma, as is common in the entertainment industry. This is pretty damning stuff. I think the specific detail of 9 showrunners in 9 years, that is not great.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of showrunners to have in 9 years. And I watched The Morning Show, and that feels like a model of consistency, greatness, excellence. You know, they deal with issues. But really, I think this is, there's been something about Jimmy Fallon percolating for a minute. Matt Bellany, in his Puck newsletter, he commented on the Rolling Stone piece, and he said the thing that shocked him the most was all the stuff that everyone knows about that didn't make it into this piece, that is basically common industry knowledge. So, Jamie, when you hear Jimmy Fallon might not be the coolest, awesomest guy, does this surprise you? Or are you like, no, it actually tracks?
Listen, you know, it takes me back to you. This was several years ago, but like maybe 2019. And there, Martin Short, and this was when they were promoting, I want to say it was the first season of Murders in the Building. Mm. And Martin Short got on and he said, this is the greatest show on television because there is no host in late night who pretends to care as much as you do. No one captures phoniness like you do.
Oh, God.
Yo.
I mean, and that felt like mean and accurate. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, there's always been the long history of that he has possibly indulges in the drink.
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
NBC had to famously put out a statement back in the day. I want to say it was like 2016. They had to put out a statement. They were like, listen, he does not have a drinking problem that any of us know about. That was in the official statement.
Great statement. You think that's from Joe Jonas's person? Amazing.
Exactly. And then they said he goes out and has fun and he's had some accidents. There have been conversations about that, but the stories are exaggerated. It's like, oh, you're even referencing like the stuff. And then, of course, you know, my favorite rumor that has been like so loud for so long is that famously he had an ongoing engagement with Ariana Grande, which was why she was always a guest on the show, even when she wasn't promoting things, because that is how they lined up their hookups. And then famously his wife shut it down and was like, yeah, no, not anymore. Like, shut it down. And so when he had that show where people had to finish songs. Do you remember that show?
I do. Yeah.
Ariana was on it, and like she came over to hug him, and he was like, no. He backed out of that hug. He was like, absolutely not. We are on television, and my wife is watching this. And so
there's no reason to think that. I was just going to walk through, like, I feel like Ariana Grande has like more respect for herself. And then I remember, the Pete Davidson era. So of course, like, aesthetics are not going to matter.
SpongeBob. Remember, she's in her SpongeBob era right now.
I think I blocked that. I think I completely
forgot. Did you forget that she broke up that marriage? Oh.
Wow. So that actually makes more sense.
Also, don't forget that last year, Horatio Sanz was accused of grooming a minor, and the minor, who is now an adult, asked for Jimmy Fallon to be added to the court case because he had encouraged the behavior, and then that settled out of court. Horatio Sanz made a payment to her.
I don't like anything about that. Have we talked about this? I just don't love I don't love grooming. I don't like that word. I feel like there should be something more mendacious.
I think it's so hurtful to barbers because they're like, we're trying to do grooming over here, but without like the weirdness. Yeah.
We're your local groomer in a cool way.
Or is that the perfect way to be a groomer and nobody know that you're a groomer?
Yeah, you're in this scenario you've laid out, they're advertising. They're in newspapers. They're like, I'll groom your kid. But obviously, I think this is timely because Jimmy Fallon is part of the Strike Force 5, coming from all the late night TV talk show hosts. Aaron, can you name all the members of Strike Force 5?
Okay, this is a podcast.
This is a podcast. Yes. Five people.
Okay.
Late night hosts.
Okay, Jimmy Fallon.
You got it.
James Corden.
Oh, wow. No, that's a miss.
He's not a late night
battleship
host
miss.
He's not. What?
We have just broken this news.
Wow. Okay.
Jason, breaking news music.
And by the way, late night is so strong, they didn't even replace it. They're like, no. We don't need that show anymore. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel?
Very good.
Okay. Craig Ferguson? No. Is he there?
What network is Craig Ferguson on?
I assume TBS.
God, it gets weirder.
I'm going to see when he went off air. I don't.
Oh, here we go. He went off air exactly 9 years ago.
That's not true.
2014 is when 2005 to 2014.
Okay. How many do I have left?
You've got three.
Seriously? Two more.
You've got the Jimmies. More. You did get the Jimmies.
Conan O'Brien?
No, he's not been invited. But if you go through their reviews, a lot of the people are like, this sucks balls. Bring Conan in. That's okay. Kind of like the consistency.
Conan does have his own really good podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll give Aaron a half because it feels like the people want it.
No one should listen to it. Don't listen to it. But he does have a good podcast.
I don't know.
Here's to be fair. One of them you should get. Like, but one of them is an outlier. Like, it is a weird late night choice.
Okay. Stephen Colbert.
That's good. There you go.
Okay.
You go.
You're only missing one.
Two more.
Wait, two more. Oh, yeah. There's two more. He's right. Yeah. You don't listen to the Jimmies.
You'll never get the other one, but one's pretty obvious.
Trevor Noah.
No.
Also does not host a late night show anymore.
Okay.
But his show ended more recently.
It did end in this decade.
Will I know them?
It rhymes with Meth Sires.
Seth Meyers. Okay.
That's very good.
And then the last John Oliver. John Oliver.
Yeah. That's a tricky one.
I like him.
Right.
He's a good guy. I like him.
John Oliver, if you're listening, she likes you just as much as she likes Craig Ferguson's show.
Yeah.
Craig Ferguson was great.
He was great.
I can't believe he's off the air.
I know. There's a movement to get him back on, honestly. So I think you've got a temperature on the people.
One of my favorite clips from a Craig Ferguson show was Carrie Fisher when she was trying to explain that her parents, you know, Eddie Fisher and
Debbie Reynolds,
thank you.
I know pop culture stuff.
I know that they were best friends with Mike Todd and Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah. And then when Mike Todd died in a plane accident,
spoiler alert,
that her father comforted Elizabeth Taylor with his penis.
Yes.
Whoa. Okay.
Craig did not recover. It was magical. It's a magical clip. We'll include a link in the show.
I love it. Yeah, please. To the interview, not the penis. That would be inappropriate.
Well, I don't know that you can find Eddie Fisher.
Well, Indy,
penis,
you know what? Indy, you decide. That's up to you, Indy.
Indy, decide. We don't micromanage Indy on our show notes.
Nope. So I looked up some reviews, like I mentioned, of the Strike Force 5. I'm going to give you the comment authors, and you each get to pick one you want to hear.
Okay.
So, Jamie, you've got first pick. You can either hear from Buckeye Leroy, Jeff in Alaska, just letter N, or Grumpy Prepper.
Oh, Grumpy Prepper every time?
Grumpy Prepper says awful, period. One star. Oh. If nothing else shows you the importance of having writers in Hollywood, this podcast does. I've actually considered driving an ice pick through both of my eardrums just so I don't accidentally hear this again someday. Oh, my God. It's horrible.
I made a great choice. That's a good one. Good job, Grumpy Prepper.
I think that one's my favorite. Aaron, you've got two winners. I think I know which way you're going to go.
Okay.
I'll give you the subject of the titles, okay?
Okay.
Buckeye Leroy, his is Cuck Force 5. And then Jeff in Alaska says, SEAL Team 5 of Lies.
I'm going Buckeye Leroy.
That's a smart choice.
Yeah.
Cuck Force 5. The only thing worse than these chumps on TV is them stroking each other off on a guest list podcast.
Oh my God. So aggressive. No.
So if you're thinking about Strike Force 5 over us, just know that Grumpy Prepper and Buckeye Leroy wouldn't agree with that. You know?
Yeah. Wow. I wish Grumpy Prepper would listen to us.
I don't want to hear from Grumpy Prepper. You know?
That's fair.
All right, let's do What's the Word, Jamie. And I wanted to talk to y'all specifically about this this revelation after, I experienced this in the post-live show haze. Ashley brought this to my attention, and she said, have you indulged in the honey pepper pimento sandwich? And I was like, I don't even know what restaurant is this from? I don't know what you're talking about. So she proceeded to get me one from Chick-fil-A, and it was maybe one of the best things that's happened to me this year. No exaggeration. It was glorious. It was incredible. Jamie, have you interacted with the sandwich before?
We have. Actually, Aaron and I ate the sandwich today.
For the first time.
Yes, because you put it in the show.
That's right.
Rundown. And we were like, we don't know.
So you had not heard of this either?
No, we 100% had heard of it because we opened our app. And so you don't have the app. And so you don't
know. I actually have the app. Thank you, Grandma.
Because I see commercials because I'm not post-commercial. When you open that app, they're aggressive. We're like, Bimino cheese, you gotta get it. So we had it. Look, she had the regular. I had the spicy.
Ooh, okay.
Because I prefer the spicy chicken sandwich. And Aaron, what were your thoughts?
I really liked it. I was disappointed in the amount of pimento cheese.
It was pathetic. We took a picture. We've already sent it directly to the Kathy family. You've shown images of a lot of pimento cheese, and we did not get
a lot of
pimento
turned me off on it at first, because I was like, I don't know how to eat this. It looks like it's going to be too much pimento cheese.
Okay.
And then when we got it, I was like, it just looks like a little,
so this is a Goldilocks situation.
Yeah.
It was like a little sneeze of pimento cheese. Like robust enough.
No, it was not robust.
It was, you could still see the chicken through it.
Okay. I'm not going to blame the Chick-fil-A cow for that. I'm going to say that's the particular franchise you guys chose to indulge in. I don't think that was my experience. You know,
Jamie was trying to make sure that it was still hot when she got here.
Aaron got fries and I wanted her to make sure her fries were hot.
Jamie got waffle chips.
I always get waffle chips.
You said that a couple, I don't know, 20 episodes ago. And I thought you were lying. I thought it was the biggest lie.
I freaking love those waffle chips. They're delicious.
It's crazy.
They're so good. They're so salty.
You can literally get those anywhere.
You cannot get those at the Pig. You cannot get them at Publix or Kroger. I try. You cannot get them.
You're a psychopath for choosing those at a Chick-fil-A.
I do love them so much. Listen, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really yummy. The honey is an unexpected delight. That honey being added in is a perfect sweet and salty mix. I will say I felt like the jalapeno peppers had seen some things and were distraught.
Okay.
They could have been a little fresher. They looked like they'd been in a bin for a minute.
Now, was this your local Chick-fil-A, Jamie? Or is this the one that Aaron is like best friends with the manager?
No. I can't. Listen, I'm not going to draw. Listen, her Chick-fil-A runs like a professional. Like, it's the model Chick-fil-A of all the Chick-fil-A's.
Okay.
The rest of us are going to Chick-fil-A's that are doing their best. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not allowed to have a drive-through, or they have two drive-throughs, but only four people working on any given day. Like, I have some really sketchy Chick-fil-A's near me.
Maybe it's a function of that. I don't want to discourage people listening.
I think it's delicious. I just think it was, we just could have used a little, like, I was like, we need an option in the app to add more. Like, I want a heavy scoop of pimento cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Don't be bashful with that pimento cheese. Like, really get there with it.
That's right.
Okay. Well, in honor of that conversation, I wanted to check in, you know, just context wise, like, we're not going to do a snake draft, but like, in terms of top three, you know, fast food menu items, does this sandwich crack like the top three for you, Jamie?
No. Not even at Chick-fil-A.
Not even close.
Not the top three at Chick-fil-A, I don't think.
Okay, so it's waffle chips first, number one.
Waffle chips number one. Chicken minis for life.
Okay.
I freaking love them chicken minis. And I love those chicken nuggets.
I hate this. I hate this take. This is the most basic.
Aaron,
this is
in
basic B-word.
Would you put it in your top three of favorite Chick-fil-A menu items?
Yeah.
Okay, so she put it in the top three. Would you put it in the top three of all fast food?
Yeah.
You put it in a, because, you know, Aaron famously does a progressive dinner when she's sad, and she goes from Wendy's to Taco Bell.
Absolutely.
To McDonald's?
No, Chick-fil-A is exempt from the trinity of progressive dinners. Okay.
Can I push back on progressive dinner? Because I feel like that sounds, and I'm not trying to cast stones here, Aaron. That feels like a more emotionally healthy experience than what you're doing, because I've been a party to it too. So I kind of want to call it like a fast food gangbang, because that's really what it is. It's not a progressive dinner.
Wow, that is not okay.
Did you not do progressive dinners in youth group at your church?
Exactly. And it was very functional.
I think this is very functional.
No,
this
it's
is
not.
Very formatted.
No, I think therapy is functional,
you're putting it together.
But this is different.
You're eating this in the parking lot. This is not a good experience.
It is a form of therapy that I
think. No, it is not.
No.
Tell people that.
I could partner Wendy's, Taco Bell, and McDonald's with BetterHelp. And I think we could really have
now that I'm interested in. BetterHelp, call us.
I think BetterHelp, not trying to like tell you how to do your business. Shark Tank idea. Music, please, Jason. I would love BetterHelp to spot. You know how we have the EV parking spots and they're good parking spots for their electric vehicles that no one uses in the South? Let's do like a adult emotional breakdown parking spot. You know, it's wider space. They're like, hey, you just went through the drive-thru, park here. You know, we're not going to have those aggressive orange lights on you and just eat in silence and quiet. Nobody can see you.
Listen, let me one up this idea because this is brilliant.
Thank you.
Let's one up it. Maybe it's like a Sonic situation where you park and there's a screen to your left and that's where you meet your therapist while you eat your Mexican pizza.
That is your brilliant, Mexican pizza, Jamie.
Right?
This is very good.
Brilliant. Sonic BetterHelp. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Sonic BetterHelp with great Wi-Fi. I think
But you don't, but that's not a part of the trinity of the food. The Sonic is
so what Aaron is saying is she is not going to therapy. So.
No, I'm saying the TV part is just the Sonic food is not a part of the food experience.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean a Sonic like.
No, that could be Taco Bell.
Just a couple corrals over there and like another yes and to your idea, Jamie, which is great. And I think you really like brought it over the top.
Right.
I would say that your therapist, if you're at Chick-fil-A, your therapist shows up like with a Chick-fil-A cow filter, you know, like you're talking to Chick-fil-A cow. That's good for
and
brands.
If it's Wendy's, she gets the ponytails, the pigtails. If it's Taco Bell, it's the chihuahua.
That's right. And she holds up a picture of your mom dressed as a chicken.
No.
Not your mom, but just a mom
Gwen
in general.
Wonderful.
No, just most moms.
How would she
in
even know what your mom looks like? That's just insane.
I'm just saying for therapy, some people need to talk about their moms. Many women. So. Okay. I love this idea. This is a good call. But Aaron, you wouldn't put it in your top three of all fast food.
I think I would. I really liked it.
Okay.
When you're doing your fast food, what's all
we're
in that
three? We're not calling it that.
It's working. People are loving
it. You get the Mexican pizza from Taco Bell, but you also get a Dr. Pepper from Taco Bell because Dr. Pepper is one of the only restaurants that consistently has fountain Dr. Pepper.
I did not know
you're
that.
Not getting a Baja Blast.
No, absolutely not. Okay. That ruins everything. You get, but you get that with extra sour cream. And then you move on to Wendy's and you can get an Asiago spicy chicken sandwich and a Frosty and fries sometimes. And then you go to McDonald's and you get just fries.
Just the fries. And then I think that's the way you laid it out, Aaron. That's really good because you get those fries last. So they're fresh and you're immediately parking.
Exactly. But listen, you eat the Mexican pizza while you're in the Wendy's drive-thru and then you eat your Asiago chicken sandwich, spicy chicken sandwich while you're in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah, this is heavily overlaid. Yeah.
Yeah. You're making progress.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's an art form.
That is a fast food. 100%.
Well, I'd be curious if people listening on our Instagram post for this week, is if you've tried the sandwich, did you love it? And would you put it in your top three of all fast food? Because Knox, you would, right?
It's four, actually. When I really got down to the nitty gritty.
I felt like we worked really hard for you.
I know.
No, not for me.
Sorry. I got to be honest here. I'm doing the McDonald's nuggets fries combo.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them.
I'm doing a hearty sausage biscuit because,
you
wake up and you got soft podcasting hands. And you want to feel like a blue collar boy, you eat a sausage biscuit and you're like,
with
I don't know, maybe
round
I should fix something.
Round hash rounds.
Right. Yep. Get the grease on there, mix it with the sweat. And then I've got the Dairy Queen Reese Cup Blizzard, you know? Sorry. I'm trying to cross all my.
Hey, okay, I want to know listeners' top three fast food of all time. Put those in the comments. I want to see.
Who's in your fast food? Let us know, please.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Obviously, we're not really talking about the box office a ton because not much is happening right now. But we did get this weirdo, interesting trailer for a movie called The Bike Riders, which is starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, Tom Hardy, and it's brought to us by Jeff Nichols, a pretty great director. Jamie, did you watch this, and what did you think?
Oh, I did watch it, and holy moly. So guys, this is based on, it's a fictional story based on a photo book, which has always got me nervous, but... Mm-hmm. This premiered at the Telluride Film Festival, and it is 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Whoa. Although now we know we
compromised. Yeah.
But this is about Kathy with a K, which I think tells us a lot. Mm-hmm. Kathy, a strong-willed member of the Vandals who is married to a wild, reckless bike rider named Benny, recounts the Vandals' evolution over the course of a decade, beginning as a local club of outsiders united by good times, rumbling bikes, and respect for their strong, steady leader, Johnny. Now, Kathy is played by Jodie Comer. We love Jodie Comer here at PMG. This accent that she has chosen for this role is a problem.
That's when I saw him for the first time. It took my breath away. Not to be different, but to be, I don't know, like he's wild.
Jason is shaking his head in dissent as the king of the Midwest at the PMG. Everything in this movie is great, right? Because like, you're right, this is, it looks like contemporary Midwestern Fury Road. Love it. Yes. It looks like prestige Sons of Anarchy. You know, we mentioned Tom Hardy. We mentioned Austin Butler, Jodie Comer. You've also got Michael Shannon shows up in here. Boyd Holbrook, I don't even know if he makes it into the trailer, who he's fresh off an incredible run on Justified City Primeval, which he's just immense. But unfortunately, everyone in this trailer, all the principal actors, sound like they're doing a... Do you remember the SNL sketch, The Bears, you know?
Yes.
Where everyone's like, Da Bears, Coach Dicka. And it makes me not take it seriously, Jamie.
Listen, and I noticed they barely let Austin Butler even speak.
Right.
Like, at all.
Because he doesn't sound like that. He sounds like Elvis still.
He sounds like Elvis. Jodie Comer and Tom Hardy sound like they are from rival subdivisions on the line between New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Like, it is the weirdest accent. Like, and what I love that they're like, we aged her just by cutting her hair.
Yeah.
We didn't change her face at all. This is 30 years in the future. We didn't even try. We have no budget for makeup at all. But listen, Tom Hardy, it reminds me of his Venom accent, but it's weirder.
I've been thinking, I can't run this club forever. Hey, you know, just think it over, you know.
It's higher pitched somehow. It's so stupid.
And I love his Venom accent. So I am all in on whatever he's doing, but yeah. I'm always all in whatever he's doing. Norman Reedus is in this as a cat character named Funny Sonny.
What? You know what? Just make him Daryl Dixon and just be like, I don't know. You guys figure it out. You guys figure out how this Walking
Dead
chase.
And it's just like a zombie head on the back of his bike.
Like, I don't know, man, but it works out.
I would
be
more interested if this was about actual bike riders fighting for bike lanes. Like,
okay.
I wasn't impressed with
That's too violent, Jamie. That's too violent. People are not ready for that kind of...
I got scared today. Listen, I did get scared today because I was in a lane that became a bike lane. I was like, I got to get over.
In Birmingham, they have those? Yes. They don't have sidewalks in Birmingham, but they have bike lanes
there? They have them everywhere. They have bike lanes everywhere here.
Incredible. Incredible.
Progressive.
Maybe they'll get to those roads one day. Okay, well, that is our conversation on The More You Know. If you've thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. Noxgmail.com/521. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
This is the most devastating red light I've ever had to do.
Okay.
I'm so sad. I'm so sad. My red light today is Drew Barrymore.
Oh, wow.
It's so hurtful. Listen, I have loved her since we were both 5 years old, and she was on E.T., and I was watching E.T. I love her. I eat Reese's Pieces. That's my favorite candy because of her. I've watched every movie. I own every book. I own a tea kettle by her from Walmart. Erin gifted it to me. I have her E.T. Eyeshadow palette. Like, I love Drew Barrymore. Truly, I have a subscription to her magazine. And I watch everything she makes. However, she hosts a syndicated talk show, The Drew Barrymore Show. And this weekend, she announced that the talk show would begin broadcasting its fourth season during the Writers Guild strike. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a violation of strike rules. So on Monday, 9/11 in New York, how dare you, Drew resumed taping of her show. Now, that makes Drew a scab. She is a strike scab. And let me tell you why. So the Writers Guild has these separate contracts for different types of work. And she is working under a contract for talk shows, game shows, and daytime soaps. Okay. And that contract is current and in effect. So that's not what we're striking about. She's a theatrical performer. So she could make a commercial right now for her own Buchla chair at Walmart, which is dope. And she would not be in violation of the strike. She could not be in a movie with Adam Sandler. That would be in violation of the strike. But here's the thing. She posted on her Instagram. She's like, hey, guys, I wish I could do a really good Drew Barrymore. But she, I know, it's really what's missing from all. I can't do any impressions. So it's also missing.
It's okay.
But the Writers Guild, she was like, you guys, I'm still going to do the show because obviously we started the show in the pandemic and this matters. And we want to continue the work that writers do everywhere. And we are not going to violate any of the strike rules. That is not true. She just said, we're not going to talk about any struck work. Well, you're literally making a struck work. The Drew Barrymore Show, according to the Writers Guild of America, is a struck work because it has three writers that are all members of the Writers Guild.
Now, so let me double back. What was the, she's like, we're going to keep doing it because, like, just because this matters? Like, this is important talk show work?
Because we have to bring joy. We have to bring joy. And right now you only have The View and Mark and Kelly arguing about the summer. And so
are they allowed to keep going, Mark and Kelly?
Well, so Mark and Kelly, they have non-guild members writing their show.
Okay.
So they do not have Writers Guild members writing their show. So it's just gross, but it's not like violating any strike rules. The View is also violating the strike because they have Writers Guild members who work on their staff. And so
I feel about morning show hosts like Aaron probably felt about late night hosts. I don't know that I could get 2 out of 5.
No, honestly. You probably could not. Well, Jennifer Hudson, did you know she hosts a daytime?
That's a lie.
Show?
That's not real.
That's the true story. So Drew was like, she made it seem like in her post, because someone wrote that post for her, which is the irony of all of this, is that she made it seem like, oh, we're paying our writers. We're honoring the work. We have a waiver. She implied all of that. None of that is true. Within literally 60 seconds of her posting that post on Instagram, the Writers Guild put up a thing and said, hey, we're striking the Drew Barrymore show. We're picketing the show tomorrow. Be at CBS Studios at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. And they were. And in that picket line included the three writers who work on the Drew Barrymore show. And then what happened is some students from NYU had gone to, they had gotten free tickets to the show. They were interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter. They went to the show and they were like, they handed us pens. Like the Writers Guild, of course they are. It's a picket line. You're crossing a picket line. So if you're going to go inside, they want you to wear a pen. And so when they went inside, they were like, you can't wear that pen on screen. And they were like, and one person took it off, but then the other person just kept going. And then they escorted them both out of CBS Studios. They would not let them stay for the taping. So it's all very gross. This is so easy. Just don't cross a picket line. Because here's the thing, y'all. You're a scab if any worker takes a striking worker's place on a struck work. And so what's happening is Drew could come out and say, I'm writing it. I'm writing all my own questions now.
Yeah.
I'm writing all my own stuff. That's, yeah, you're a scab. You're taking the job of a writer. Your literal writers who've been with you from the beginning of the show, all three of them, all women, are all outside picketing. Like, you can't do it. So, dear Drew, I will not be watching Ever After during my monthly period.
Okay.
Or drinking sleepy time tea I made with your kettle from Walmart. So, can I correct this?
Let me give some terms on this. Are you like broke off forever? Are you like broke off until she like makes it cool, or
well,
like she undoes this?
See,
like,
I was really hoping she would cancel recording, because her guests today were Brooke Shields, who was going to talk about a documentary that is a, it is not a, it is, it does not involve the Writers Guild or the SAG-AFTRA. And then Jordan Fisher, who we all really love Jordan Fisher because he's in Sweeney Todd and he's from Alabama and
oh,
we really
yeah.
love him.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's Liv's boyfriend, Liv and Maddie. He does a great job.
Oh, okay. Well, and he is in this, he is in SAG, as is Drew Barrymore, but this is not, as long as he can talk about Sweeney Todd because it's not a struck work.
Okay.
It's a, it will be soon because they'll go on strike soon enough, but no matter.
Sure.
It's just a bummer. So it won't be forever. I really had hoped when she saw the picket line, she was like, I'm just not going to cross this picket line because that's a vibe and I'm not going to do it.
God, it because would be so good happened. If you had a Drew Barrymore impression. You could have used it right there and it would have been electric.
I know, right? Because listen, Maya Rudolph, they were going to continue to make a show.
What?
And then there were...
Oh, the Apple show? Or does she have a morning show too?
No, she has a different, she has an actual fictional show.
But shouldn't she have a morning show? Don't we all agree that that's probably something?
Oh, I would love that. Are you kidding me? But she, when they got to the studio, when they got to the filming, there was a picket line and she was like, I'm not going to cross a picket line. I don't care if there's a waiver. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter because this was before Screen Actors Guild had gone on strike.
Sure.
And she was like, I'm not going to cross the picket line. And so for Drew, and again, the reason this is so bothersome is because I love her, but also because if anyone understands being treated badly by this industry, it is Drew Barrymore. Like, she has a long history. She's my favorite Nepo baby of all time.
Yeah.
But no, this is not okay.
It's not good. It's not good stuff. Okay. Myra Light, speaking of not good stuff, this is the 20 year anniversary of me almost proposing to Ashley on 9/11.
So this is my favorite weird
let's
fun
don't
fact
forget.
About you.
Let's don't forget.
20 years? God, how embarrassing would that have been?
It would have been bad. And look, even though my mom and sister independently said, you can't do that, I was still like, I think I'm going to do it anyway. I think I'm just going to go ahead and
do it. Listen, I'm still really sensitive about even posting on social anything that's not related to 9/11 on 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I almost proposed marriage
And you did that 2 years after 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was like, look, you know, like, it's just whatever. Like, let's just like keep moving forward. Let's don't look back. This is
to be fair. You're not, you don't always have a good grasp on time and dates and
time zones. I was like, I don't, do we know when 9/11 was time zone wise? Like, I don't even know if it was the same day. Like, I experienced it. So it was confusing.
You literally live in the Eastern time zone.
When you know better, you do better. No, see, at that point, I was in Central, which is a whole big different thing. Because it's like, what's the actual day here, guys? What are we doing?
Where were you going to propose to her?
No. Like when 9/11 happened, I was in Central time zone. So it was like, was that 9/11 for me? Or was that 9/10? Was that 9/13? I don't know. No one told me because there were bigger things to talk about.
I feel like you didn't think about it long enough.
I didn't. No, so just red light to me ongoing for That's almost fair. Doing that. But I didn't. So everybody chill. But the big red light is, I don't know if y'all saw this, but there's this dude. His name is Paul Landis. And he's coming out with a book called The Final Witness. And this is about the John F. Kennedy assassination. You may have heard about it. Spoiler alert. He did get assassinated in Dallas. So he was one of the two.
Wait,
Secret
pause
Service.
Really quick. Aaron, is that something that Texas is proud of no matter what?
What?
That the president got assassinated in your state?
Yeah.
It's not something we're proud of, but it is an interesting fact.
Oh, they are proud of it. Secretly, they are glad it happened there.
They're like, hey, don't start, none won't be none. Know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Fair, fair. Okay.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. You know what I mean?
Okay, go ahead.
His book, basically, he is, he was one of the two Secret Service agents assigned to Jackie O. So he was right there. He's 15 feet away when Kennedy was hit. But his book is going to dispute the magic bullet theory that has been circulated, which for the younglings out there who are like, what is the magic bullet theory? It's basically that one bullet did all the damage. It hit Kennedy from behind, comes out of his throat, hits the governor, Mr. Connolly, and then hits his back wrist, chest, and thigh. But it's just, that's kind of crazy. But the Warren Commission, who studied this and investigated it, they're like, we don't have any other answer. This probably has to be it. But basically, this guy is like, I found a bullet, and it got misinterpreted. So long story short, his evidence is going to suggest that there's a second shooter because Oswald could have gotten off all these shots. Now, let me caveat this. Paul Landis, because he was a Secret Service agent at that point, he's 90. You know, he's like basically 90 years old. And I don't know, public track record with 90-year-olds right now, it's not great, you know, in terms of recall and just like general vibes. So the question, it begs the question, like, why do this book now? And are you sure you remembered it all right? You sure you got all this? Like, pretty cool.
You know, he was in a documentary about the shooting, and I remember at the time thinking, he does not believe what he's saying.
Oh.
And but again, I don't make any clear judgments on what did or did not happen based on vibes.
That you asserted yourself into this.
I do not make historical decisions based on vibes.
I like that you were like, I broke news to him before he even knew himself.
But listen, I have, to be fair, I have seen that autopsy photo of JFK, and she is tough. Yeah, she's the toughest one.
It's a bad one.
Prince is a walk in the park, Paisley Park, if you will, compared to JFK's.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we're talking about the spectrum of autopsy photos, it is number one up there.
Does everybody have that? When you do your around fast food, what's your favorite autopsy photo to look at?
We're having two very different conversations. Yeah. I wanted to go for conspiracy theories. Jamie wanted to go to autopsy photos. Aaron, would you take Jamie's first and then take mine second, please? Thank you.
I don't look at autopsy photos.
You've never looked at an autopsy photo?
You've never seen the Farley one, the Chris Farley one? Really?
No, absolutely not. Wow.
Yeah, she's a nice Googler.
No, for
she's
the audio, not. The air of arrogance that Aaron has over us emotionally,
no,
I don't
I
appreciate
I just don't
right
want to look
Listen,
at
I'm
an autopsy
educated.
Photo.
I'm educated.
I do not want to look at it.
Okay, so what's
photo.
Your favorite conspiracy theory?
It's JFK, for sure.
For sure.
And JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
Yes, I also love JonBenet Ramsey.
Okay.
And that owl that killed that lady.
Yes,
yeah,
that is crazy. That Listen, is crazy.
You know what? You know, I've got a double conspiracy on the owl thing.
Tell
so
me.
The conspiracy theory is that the owl did it. I think Big Owl put it up because now I respect owls. If I see an owl, I'm like, yo, that owl killed me.
It was like the Tootsie Roll owl.
A little bit. I'm just like, I'm just going to back up. I'm going to respect these owls. I'm not going to go after them because they can kill men. They can kill men or women, you know, whatever.
We talked a lot about owls this year on the show. That's the second time.
Big year for owls. Big year for owls.
Big year
you know?
For owls.
It really is.
Yeah.
Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is a new stand-up special that I freaking loved. I feel like I've been in a drought of stand-up specials because, listen, I watched that one of that guy that did not get hired on SNL because he used the N-word on a podcast.
Shane Gillis.
That was bad. That stand-up special, I was like, oh, so you're still racist. Good to know.
He does have a riff on when you get really into history. That's just you starting to become a Republican. And I was like,
that's right.
Oh, dang, man. Oh, I do like World War II.
He does.
I just don't want to belong to either party. Is that okay?
I know. I didn't love Tom Segura's last one. I didn't think it was as funny as he had been. I know that's upsetting. Wow. Jason Waterfalls. But this is Michelle Wolf, her brand new special called It's Great to Be Here. Now, what I love about it is she kind of trades it. And I'm like, I like this. Like most stand-ups do a classic hour and then they're out. So what she did was she did 3 half-hour specials and she funded them herself. She produced them and she edited them all herself.
Oh.
I really love. And she talks about everything. And listen, she takes no prisoners, including comedians, which is my favorite thing because she famously runs with the big dogs of comedians, some of which are maybe occasionally problematic. And so I like that she held their heads under the water, just like everybody else. And I loved it. She talked about sexual harassment. She talked about dating. She talks about All Struggles Matter. That's one of her specials is All Struggles Matter plus Me Too. And it's actually so poignant and lovely. Like she's very vulnerable in the special. But to me, Michelle Wolf, I think one of the hiccups, and she has talked about this, is that you can't control how your voice sounds. A lot of people don't like her voice, which is so silly because if you watch any of her 3 specials that are on Netflix, they are all top notch. She does a whole thing about, in one of her specials, about how if men had periods, that tampons would be superheroes. And it would be like, are you Marvel or DC? And then it would be Spider-Man coming out of your Pikachu. I love it. It's so good. So anyway, that's my green light.
My green light, I'm going to go, I've got two this week. I'm going to go, first one, Zach Bryan, his self-titled album.
Yes.
And this is timely because he also got arrested. I don't think that was a stunt. I think he was just like, he kind of had like a diva moment for a second and got cuffed.
Do you know
Jason,
who I am?
Jason's disputing. Jason,
Zach Bryan.
Are you doing a conspiracy theory off of our conspiracy theory conversation where you think Zach Bryan actually got arrested on purpose? Wow. That's interesting. That's a hot take. That's a spicy take. Regardless. The album itself, really, really good. He's got a banger poem at the top called Fear and Fridays. I think we can play a little bit of a line here.
I'm unhinged, unworthy, and distasteful to mostly everyone I meet. However, I am loyal to a fault to anyone I find kindness in. I do not and will not fear tomorrow because I feel as though today has been enough. And I got no hate in my heart for anything, anywhere, or anyone. And I think Fear and Friday has got an awful lot in common. They're overdone and glorified and always leave you wanting. Yeah, I think Fear and Friday has got an awful lot in common. They're overdone and glorified and they always leave you wanting.
He's also got I Remember Everything with Casey Musgraves, Spotless with the Lumineers. I love the Lumineers. I love that they got together. He shared something on social recently. It was several years ago where he's just trying to make it and he messages the Lumineers. He's like, love your music. I've always been the biggest fan. Like, you've been such an inspiration. If you would, go to my profile and listen to my music maybe. And like now he's doing a song with them,
aww,
which is really cool
that's
to see.
Lovely.
Hey Driver, I think with the Warren Treaty. It's really good stuff. I really like this album. It's really, really strong. Probably going to have another album on greenlighting next week. Spoiler alert, but it's a good time for country music albums right now. And then the other green light is a book. This is by Hampton Sides. It's called Hellhound on His Trail, The Stalking of Martin Luther King Jr. and the International Hunt for His Assassin. This was I have not really ever been a big historical fiction fan, and this isn't historical fiction, but it is told as if it was. Hampton Sides does incredible research, interviewing, kind of collating a lot of the facts of the case to turn it into a story that feels very almost fictionalized, but it actually is 100% real. I told y'all, I think we were in Austin and I was working through it. I didn't realize James Earl Ray escaped from prison twice. One, he got out and then eventually assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. And then when he is in jail, he escapes again, which is just insane. And we just recently had another escape convict in like our real life right now, which is kind of bananas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of timely, but it does a really good job of, sometimes I think you can sensationalize these like tragic historical things, which was, I was a little leery of, but this does a good job of like really centering on Martin Luther King Jr., what he was working on at that point, what had led to where he was at that, like kind of the tiredness of his spirit and his soul, what James Earl Ray was about and how he went about things. So it's really well put together, really informative on a thing I didn't really know that much about and how it resolved itself. But this is a big old yes, chef for me.
Listen, this has 12,000 ratings on Goodreads and it's 4.3 stars. So that is high praise.
That's a lot. That's a lot for Goodreads. But this is excellent. I highly recommend everybody check that out. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. Say your purchase user affiliate link. If you're adding purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a spray called My Pet Pee.
Listen, another endorsement for Petpocalypse is everywhere. The fact that you have to get a 32-ounce bottle of My Pet Peed, which is pet stain and odor remover. Now, to be fair, this has 7,000 ratings and 4.5 stars, but there were a lot of questions. Again, guys, could I do some advice? Don't be this kind of person answering questions. First question was, I have artificial turf in my backyard. Would this product work to rid it of the urine odor? And Robert answered, not sure, but you will know when you try. Listen. And then we got the question, how do you know when everything has been extracted? And Dida said, you just guessed. Didn't even period that. And then finally, my favorite came from, I have 5 cats. I love the product, but can't afford it on an ongoing basis. I'm a new widow on Social Security. Can you make me a deal for a regular delivery? She's trying to make a deal in Amazon questions. And then, of course, the answer came from Amazon customer. That's all it says. It says, you have to ask the company. I'm just a customer. I can't make you a deal. So love it. Love this space. Thank you, Amazon, for being the worst. All right, you guys. Don't forget, you can join us in Atlanta for our live show where Jason Waterfalls and Aaron Moon will be on stage and all kinds of chaos will happen and you do not want to miss it. Also, Remember, we're doing a deep dive on all the things that happened at our Austin show over in Patreon when The More You Know comes out next week. So you can go to either of those in the show. We have the links to both of those in the show notes. We would love to have you join us in Atlanta or on Patreon. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox Coy. You can find me on the socials at Knox Coy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.